I want to read from verse 1 to verse 17. We're going to only focus on verse 13, which is the sixth commandment. But as we go through the text itself, these commandments are going to appear on the screen. I want you to see that in your Bible and on the screen. So beginning in verse 1 of Exodus 20, Moses recorded that God spake all these words. Now notice the very first verse, God spoke all these words. What we're getting recorded in the Bible are the very words of God. I am the Lord thy God, verse 2, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. That's commandment number 1. Thou shalt not make unto me, unto thee, any graven image. That's commandment number 2. Or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above or that is in earth beneath. Or that is in the water or under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down, verse 5, to them, nor serve them. For I am the Lord thy God. I am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me. Showing mercy, verse 6, unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Here's commandment number 3, verse 7. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that takes his name in vain. Here's commandment number 4, verse 8. Remember the Sabbath day, keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but on the seventh day, it is a Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughters, nor thy men servant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that was in thy gates. For 6 days the Lord God made heaven and earth, the sea and all that in them is. By the way, just as a footnote, note God created the whole cosmos in 6 days. He made the heaven and the earth and all that is in them. And he rested on the Sabbath day, wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Now here's commandment number 5, verse 12. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God gives thee. And here's our text, the commandment number 6, verse 13. Thou shalt not murder. The King James, I'm going to come back to this, has kill. The Hebrew word is murder. And then commandment number 7, verse 14. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Commandment number 8, thou shalt not steal. Commandment number 9, verse 16. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. And commandment number 10, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, or his donkey, or anything that is thy neighbor's. We come to the subject of the sanctity of life. This is what's called the Decalogue. And in these words, God writ on stone to show us that they were written by the very finger of God. They are immutable like God, unchangeable like God, and holy and perfect like God Himself. So the sixth commandment is found in verse 13. Go back there with me. Thou shalt not kill, or thou shalt not murder. Four simple words in our English Bibles, but in the Hebrew, it's even stronger. It's two words. It just says, no murder, no murder. Now, it's interesting that we find in verse 12 that we are to honor our father and our mother. Now, that's the sanctity of the family. And then in verse 14, thou shalt not commit adultery. That's the sanctity of marriage. Now, look real quick with me up on the screen. We put these in two sections, because the Ten Commandments of the Decalogue were given on two tablets of stone. I happen to believe, I could be wrong, I don't think I'm wrong, this is why I believe it, that the first five belong on the first tablet of stone, which involves our relationship to God. Remember Jesus said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, your strength, and mind. That's the left side, this first tablet of stone. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt make no idols. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. Keep the Sabbath day holy. Honor your father and your mother. It's interesting that God has put parents in the home to actually be his representatives. He's put human beings on planet Earth to be his representatives. But in the home, mother and father are to be the representative and mold and shape the children. But we must first be rightly and properly related to God. Everything starts with God. If we have no God, we have utter chaos. With God, we have the cosmos, utter design and perfect order. So we start with God, loving him with all our heart, soul, strength, and mind. Then notice the second tablet of stone, the next five. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness or lie. You shall not covet. These deal with our relationship to our neighbor. Jesus said to love God with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind, and to do what? Love your neighbor as yourself. It's certainly not loving to your neighbor when you murder, commit adultery, steal, lie, or covet what is thy neighbor. So loving God and loving our neighbor fulfills the keeping of the entire Decalogue. Now, when we reject God, it leads to the breakdown of the family, the sanctity of the family. When we reject God, it leads to the breakdown of marriage. Thou shalt not commit adultery. When we reject God, it leads to the breakdown in society. Violence, the commandment number 6, verse 13, thou shalt not murder, and also leads to sexual immorality. Thou shalt not commit adultery. So we need these 10 commandments given by God 3,500 years ago, written in stone, given by God, who is the ultimate authority. Amen? Now, what I want to do is simply ask some questions and try to answer them as they pertain to the 6 commandments. So question number 1, what is this commandment not? What is the commandment not saying? I'm going to give you 4 things it doesn't say. Number 1, it is not a prohibition of all forms of killing. It is actually murder. In the Hebrew, the word translated killing or kill, thou shalt not kill, is referring to deliberate taking of human life. Years ago, I was at the LAX airport and a Hare Krishna came up and pinned a flower on my shirt and wanted a donation. I said, no, I'm not going to donate to your religious, group. And he took his flower back. And I said, I started preaching to him. I started telling him the gospel. He stuck his finger right in my face and says, do you eat meat? I smiled real big and said, yeah, I love meat. And then he quoted this commandment, thou shalt not kill, turned and ran off in the airport. I'm getting to explain that it's not thou shalt not kill. I can step on a cockroach if I see one in my house, which I don't, by the way. There's no good. Say, Pastor Miller has cockroaches in his house? No, I don't. But if they come into my house, they're gone. I can kill one. It's thou shalt not murder. And we're going to get to that in just a moment. Secondly, nor is it the killing of animals for food, which I just implied there. It's not saying you can't kill an animal and eat the meat. Write down Genesis 9, verse 3. Genesis 9, 3, every creature that lives shall be yours to eat. Brian Van Gutten used to be our youth pastor here. He was from Alaska, and they're living back now in Alaska. But his favorite verse he used to say was God's word to Peter, rise, Peter, kill and eat. That was his favorite verse. So it's okay to kill an animal, to eat a steak, to have a hamburger. Now, if you want to be a vegetarian, that's great, but this thou shalt not kill does not pertain to that. It's interesting, even Jesus ate fish. Then number 3, it's not an indictment against capital punishment. Write down Genesis 9 and verse 6. Whosoever sheds men's blood, by man shall his blood be shed. Genesis 9, 6. I believe that capital punishment is a deterrent at least to murder or homicide. There's also Romans chapter 13, verse 4, And it says there, but if you do evil, be afraid, for he that is the government bears not the sword in vain. Most Bible scholars believe that sword there is a reference to capital punishment. Now, we can debate whether or not we should have capital punishment or not, but God's word is clear that this thou shalt not kill is reference to thou shalt not murder, homicide. And then here's number four. It's not the fighting of a just war. And all of these topics we could spend more time on, but it's not saying that if you're attacked by another nation that soldiers can't defend their country. Now, I know, again, that's controversial for some. There's some Christians that are pacifists that don't believe we should involve ourselves in any war, turn the other cheek kind of a concept. But you know, when God sent Israel into the promised land, he had them utterly wipe out, Deuteronomy 20, the Canaanites, the Hittites, and the Jebusites that were in the land. You know what they were doing? They were actually offering and sacrificing their babies. Not a whole lot different than we today in America. They would take a statue of Baal, they would put it in a fire, they would heat it up till it was red hot, its arms were outstretched, and then they would lay their babies into the arms of these statues and burn them alive, sacrifice them to their God. So God actually commissioned them to go in and to wipe out this horrible evil in the land. Well, what is this command forbid? It forbids the deliberate taking of a human life. A deliberate taking of a human life. Now, here's my second question, and that is, why is the command of taking a human life in the Bible? Why is this sixth command in the Decalogue? Let me give you the reasons. Number one, God is the source and giver of life. And by the way, these points here are so foundational, so important. God is the source and giver of life. Without God, there is no life. Write down Genesis chapter 2, verse 7. And the Lord God formed man out of the dust of the ground, and he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. So foundational, in light of this commandment, thou shalt not murder, is that God is the source of human life. God is the source and creator of all things. And because God is, the universe and all within it exist. Only God is the ultimate authority. You know, if you get rid of God, and atheism is so prevalent today in our culture, materialism, hedonism, you have no fixed point of final authority. You have relativism. There's no truth. No absolute truth. Your truth is your truth. My truth is my truth. But when those truths collide, who wins out? Who decides? So we have to have the ultimate arbitrator, who is God, who's given us his law. So very important. So God is the source of life and the giver of life. Someone said, without God, we have only chaos. With God, we have the cosmos. And write down Psalm 19, verse 7, by the way, where it says, the law of the Lord is perfect. I love that. The law of the Lord is perfect. Why? Because know this, in the Decalogue, the Ten Commandments, they are a reflection of God being holy, just, righteous, and good, unchanging, and his laws are universal. God's laws answer the question, how shall we then live? You know, all the craziness in our culture today is because we've gotten rid of God and gotten rid of his laws. And if you wonder, how can we get so crazy in our culture today? Men have basically believed the lie that there's no absolute truth, that there's no God, there's no answering to God. We're all just the product of evolution. Now, God has created us. God is the source of life. Here's number two. God is the sustainer of life. So God gives life. God sustains life. You know, when you go to bed at night and you sleep, God is sustaining you through the night. You don't have to stay awake to keep breathing to stay alive. You go to bed, you go to sleep, and God sustains you as you sleep. And God sustains us through the day. Here's the verse, Acts 17, verse 28, where Paul's speaking to the Athenians on Mars Hill, said, "For in Him, that is God, we live, we move, we have our being." In God we live, we move, we have our being. And then number three, God is the taker of life. Those are three foundational truths. God is the source of life, God sustains life, and God takes life. Job chapter 1, verse 21, Job said, "Naked came I into my mother's womb, and naked shall I return from whence I came." He said, the Lord gives, and the Lord what? Takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. So God is the giver of life. If you're alive right now, your life comes from God. If you continue, God sustains you. And when it's your time to go, by the way, it's appointed unto every man once to die, and after that, the judgment. You know, the statistics on death are quite impressive. 10 out of every 10 people living will die. And I don't know, but when you get old, like me, and you start getting kind of that point in your life where there's less in front of you than there was is behind you, you can begin to realize the gravity of life. Everybody over 60, say amen. The gravity of life. You're young, you think you got a lot of time, you're going to just going to be like that, and we'll be having your funeral. I just wanted to encourage you today. It speaks of the certainty of death and the gravity of life. The Bible says that life is like a vapor of smoke. It appears for a time and then vanishes away. So God gives life, God sustains life, God takes life. You know, in Colossians it says that everything's held together by Jesus. He holds all things together by the word of His power. And then here's number four. This is the most important. This is the foundation. God made man in His image. God made man in His image. Genesis 1, verse 26. Genesis 1, 26. So God created man in His own image. In the image of God created He him. Male and female created He them. So God created us in His image. The image of God. Now what does that mean, that we're created in the image of God? It means that we are made to know God, means that we are made to fellowship with God, means that we can think rationally, we can think subjectively, we have will, volition, we're moral creatures, where we can know right from wrong, we can communicate. This is the Imago Dei, the image of God. How important that is. I don't believe the Bible teaches evolution. I believe it teaches special creation. And evolution is one of the greatest lies ever fostered upon the minds of men. That you're an accident, there's no purpose, meaning, you're just a material being, and that there's no life after death, there's no God, there's no heaven, there's no hell. It's all a lie from hell itself. So there is a God, He's the giver of life, the sustainer of life, and He's the one that takes life, and mankind is made in His image. Now, because we're made in the image of God, all life, human life, excuse me, is precious, because all human life is made by God, sustained by God, and taken by God. Now, today we are seeing a devaluing of human life because we have forgotten God. Our culture, as I said, is humanistic and materialistic. Now, if man is not made in the image of God, nothing stands in his way of his inhumanity. There's no God-given reason why mankind should be perceived as special, and human life is cheapened and devalued. You go anywhere in the world that lacks a Judeo-Christian influence there on that culture, and you see the devaluing of human life. Write down Genesis chapter 9, and verse 6, where it says, "Whosoever sheds the blood of man, by man shall his blood be shed." And here again it says, "For in the image of God, God has made man." Genesis 9 and verse 6. So we're made with reason, intellect, speech, moral consciousness, creativity, rationality, choice, and we can think and reason. We were made for God. How important that is. Now, and thus, murder, the breaking of the sixth commandment, is what? Sacrilege. It's the violation of what is sacred. Now, here's my third question. What are the ways this command is broken? Pretty simple, huh? Thou shalt not murder. How is this command broken? Write them down. 6 ways. Number 1, homicide. Homicide. You know, the first person born of a woman was Cain. Adam and Eve had a son, and his name was Cain. And Cain murdered his brother Abel. So it didn't take long for mankind to murder their Genesis chapter 4. There's around 24 to 27,000 homicides in the United States annually. Blood upon blood, people killing one another. The second way this commandment is broken is suicide. 47,000 annually in the United States. 47,000 people every year in America take their own life. And the suicide rate is going up rapidly. When you get rid of God, there's no purpose, there's no meaning, there's no hope. You know, if you're a Christian, the Bible says you're not your own. You were bought with a price. Glorify God in your body, which belongs to God. So you don't have a right to take your own life. Now, I don't believe that suicide is an unforgivable sin. And I believe that Satan is a liar, and Satan is a thief, and he's a murderer. And sometimes people come under attack, and they get discouraged. They take their own life. But I think that you can still go to heaven if you've trusted Christ as your Savior and Lord and been born again. It's not impartial, and that's not a license to take your life. That's a purpose to live. God gives you purpose. God gives you life. God sustains life. And God wants you to bring glory to Him. You were made to know God. So God loves you. God wants to forgive you and heal you. And if you are distraught and feeling suicidal, you need to seek counsel. Come to a pastor and talk. After service this morning, there'll be pastors and others in the prayer team before the stage to pray for you. But we're not to break that sixth commandment by committing suicide. And actually, in the United States, it's the second leading cause of death among ages 10 to 25. The third way this commandment is broken is genocide, ethnic cleansing. We see the Jewish Holocaust, Rwanda, Kosovo, Uganda, Cambodia, even in the book of the Bible, Esther, where Haman had his plot to eliminate all the Jews. And just a little footnote, by the way, all this talk about Israel committing genocide on the Palestinian people, they're not intending or trying to kill all Palestinians. They're trying to kill an evil force that is needing to be eradicated. They're not trying to kill an ethnic group. That's not the issue. But we hear people say, this is genocide, this is genocide. Matter of fact, Israel is surrounded by enemies that want their annihilation. When they say from the river to the sea, Palestine will be free, that's a chant for genocide. Kill all the Jews. Wipe out the nation of Israel. Eliminate them. But we see that even in modern society today. That is a violation. Genocide is a violation of the sixth commandment. You know, it's interesting, too, that David killed Uriah, 2 Samuel chapter 11. Jezebel killed Naboth, but he did it through proxy. Others did their bidding. That was the breaking of this sixth commandment. Here's number 4 if you're taking notes. The sixth commandment is broken by feticide, which we know as abortion, the murder of a human fetus. You know what the word fetus means? It's Latin. It means baby. So they changed the word to fetus. It's not really a human. It's not a baby. It's a fetus. And the word fetus is Latin for baby. That's what it is. So they just try to use a little word game. Now, listen to this. In the worldwide statistics are 73 million babies are aborted by induced abortion every year worldwide. The United States is second worldwide in abortions, only to communist China. That's a sad commentary. In the U.S., 1 million babies are aborted a year, 17,000 a week, and in California, 121 babies are aborted every day. Every day. 6 out of 10 unwanted pregnancies end in induced abortion. 62% of the U.S. adults want abortion legal in all or most cases. In California, again, abortion rose last year to its highest level in a decade, 178,400, up 16% from 2020. So over 178,000 abortions annually in California alone, with an increase 16% in our state. So what a sad violation this is of this sixth commandment. It's a sin against God. Now, this is not a scientific issue. It's not a philosophical issue. It's not a rational issue. It's a biblical issue. God created man in his image. They're image bearers. And even that unborn child or baby in the womb deserves to be protected. Now, what are some of the arguments that we hear today for abortion? Let me say this, number one, there are no good arguments. There are no good arguments. Well, what about the case of the mother's life? That almost never happens today in our modern world. It's very, very rare, less than 1%. And even then, it's not always the situation that we need to trust God, put it in God's hands, and for God's will to be done. But what about rape? Well, why should you punish the baby for the sin of a father? Why should the baby suffer? That's just doesn't make sense. So here's the arguments that we often hear. A woman's body. My body, my choice, right? You've seen them marching in the street. They had the banner, my body, my choice. Keep your hands off my body. The human fetus or the baby has its own unique genetic code in each of its cells. Not the mother's code, not the father's code, its own code. The fetus is in the mother, but not part of the mother. The mother doesn't have four hands. The mother doesn't have 4 feet. The mother doesn't have 2 hearts. The mother doesn't have, you know, 2 legs or 4 legs. This is not the mother's body. It's not just an issue of my body, my choice. And then we hear people say, well, the fetus is not fully developed. Neither is a 2-year-old. Neither is a 16-year-old fully developed. Try telling an amputee you're not a human. But you don't have legs, you don't have arms, you're not a human being. Since when does body parts constitute humanness? You're going to play God and decide who's human and who isn't? I believe from the moment of conception, that's at least a human fetus with potential to grow and develop. It just needs time. It's a human being. Well, some say it can't breathe on its own. Neither can a person on an artificial respirator. Should we disconnect them and let them die? Neither can somebody that has kidney dialysis machines and needs to sustain their lives. Well, it's not outside the womb. It's not born yet. Does living outside the womb take you from being non-human to human? What about when you're halfway out of the birth canal? Are you half human, half non-human? No arguments stand to reason. There's also the theological consideration of God can use any, even a troubled pregnancy, even a child that is deformed or has an issue physically, for the glory of God. You know, in John 9, and I never saw this before, and it came kind of to my attention this week as I prepared In John 9, there was a man who was blind and born blind at his birth. He was born blind. And the disciples asked Jesus, who sinned? Did he sin or his parents that he was born blind? The Jews believed in prenatal sins. Did he sin in the womb? Is that why he's born blind? You know what Jesus said? Neither one, neither he nor his parents, but that the glory of God might be demonstrated. You know, it wasn't so long ago in America that Down syndrome babies were to be put to death, institutionalized, rejected. Today, they want to run tests on women. Well, make sure your baby didn't have any issues because you might need an abortion. Rather than trusting God to do what He wants to do, and that you can use a baby, even handicapped, can be used for the glory of God. God can be glorified through even that infirmity. You know, there's a story of Tim Tebow, the famous outspoken Christian athlete, football player, that his mother was in the Philippines as a missionary with her father. And when she became pregnant with Tim, she had this horrible sickness and had to take medicine for her health and was unable to because she was pregnant. And they told her to have an abortion so you can take the medicine and save your life. She opted to not do that, to let the baby come full term and be born. Tim Tebow. You know that Greg Laurie's mom was unwed when she became pregnant with Greg and was advised to have an abortion. She had a baby, and Greg Laurie's here for today. Amen? The stories can go on and on and on and on. Write down Psalm 51, verse 5. This is another important note. Psalm 51, verse 5. David said, "Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me." Now, the implication there, and granted, the Bible doesn't speak directly to abortion, but the implication is that David was a sinner in the womb, that he was born with a sinful Adamic nature, which means humanness and moral responsibility. Psalm 51, verse 5. Then here's another verse, Psalm 139, verse 14 through 16. David said, "I was fearfully and wonderfully made. My substance," which is a reference to my unformed body, "my substance," my unformed body, "was not hid from you. You saw me being yet unformed." So that picture there in Psalm 139 of the baby growing and developing in the womb, how God knit that child in his mother's womb. We get our word embroider from that. He is knitting us in our mother's womb. And then write down Luke chapter 1, verse 44. When John the Baptist was in the womb of his mother Elizabeth, she was 6 months pregnant, and Mary, the mother of Jesus, came to visit her. And Elizabeth said that the babe leaped in my womb for joy at the visitation of Mary. And the Bible says that he, that is John, 6 months in the womb, was filled with the Holy Ghost. Now, that's pretty cool. He's a Spirit-filled John the Baptist Pentecostal, jumping for praise in the womb. That's a marvelous truth, that the sanctity of life, that the humanness of life. And then also, Elizabeth referred to Mary as the mother of my Lord. She was less than 6 months pregnant. So Jesus was the Lord in Mary's womb. Now, the incarnation speaks of the sanctity of life. God left heaven, came into the world. How? Through the womb of the Virgin Mary. He took on full humanity. Think about that. From the moment of conception, by the Holy Spirit, God became a man. Humanity was fused with deity for all eternity. That's mind-blowing. And when we get to heaven, we're going to see Jesus in heaven as the exalted God-man in heaven, the Savior, the Redeemer. So it sanctified humankind. I believe that human beings are God's crowning creation. Crowning creation. Now, let me give you the fifth and sixth ways this law is violated. Number five is infanticide. This is the homicide of infants. The homicide rate for infants from 2017 to 2020 was 7.11 per 1,000 births. That's sad. Child homicide rose from 2019 to 2020 in the U.S. 27.7%. I read some statistics on this, were shocking, and that is one of the number one ways infants die is homicide, infanticide. They're murdered as infants. And then lastly, euthanasia. It all starts with a rejection of God and His Word. It ends with abortion, euthanasia, infanticide. In 2017, Gallup poll found that 73% of U.S. adults supported euthanasia. What is euthanasia? Killing the elderly because they're no longer needed or can contribute, or they're too sick, so we take life. Remember, God is the giver, God's the sustainer, and God is the taker. But it's growing in popularity that when you get old and you start to get sick, you might as well just kill yourself. It's assisted suicide, euthanasia, kill old people. Now, perhaps you have never broken this commandment in your own mind, but God says that if you have hatred in your heart, did you know Jesus said in Matthew 5 that you've committed murder? It's pretty hard to drive the freeways in California and not kill somebody. Because hatred is the seedbed for murder. But did you know God forgives? Moses committed murder. God forgave Moses. David committed murder. God forgave David. Paul the Apostle committed murder. He consented to the death of Saul, or Stephen. And God forgave him. The Bible says in 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sin, God is what? He's faithful to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Thank God for the blood of Jesus Christ. But what should we do as Christians? We have to at least write down this verse. It's super important. Proverbs 31:8. You know what it says? It says, speak up for those who cannot speak for themselves. Proverbs 31:8. Speak up for those who speak for themselves. The King James has, open your mouth for the mute, for the rights of all the unfortunate. Stand up, speak out, and pray. Amen.